Okay, we're learning the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem for Parshas Emor, and we want to see why it is that the Torah places the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem right after the parasha of the Moadim. Now, the parasha of the Moadim, which is almost the center of the centerpiece, if you will, of Parshas Emor, begins Elam Adi Hashem Asher Tikros on B'Moadim, and then it says Sheishes Yomim Tasa Malachtecha of Yom Hashvi Tishbos. So that itself is a question, not for today, but why does the Torah begin the parasha of the Moadim with Sheishes Yomim Tasa Malachtecha, culminating in Shabbos, and then going on to each of the Moadim? But my focus for today is on the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and I was wondering why the Torah follows the Parsha of Shabbos and the Moadim with the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which you'll see is source number 4 on your page. Lo sechalalu Hashem kodshi v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem mekadshechem and Moadi Hashem asher tikru osam. So that contiguity and that smichus haparshis is very odd, and the reason I call this to your attention is because it's not coincidental that the concept of Kiddush Hashem is related to the Shabbos and to the Moadim, and that's reflected in your first source in the Nusach of Tfilas Shachris and the Nusach of Tfilas Mincha on Shabbos. If we take the case of Shachris, we are Nuchu Vo Kol Yisrael Mekadshei Shemecha. So we're talking about Menucha Shabbos, and in the same breath we're talking about Mekadshei Shemecha. Obviously, there's a connection between Menucha Shabbos and Kiddush Hashem. And you see it again in Mincha, Yakiru Vanecha V'yedu, Kimi Itcha Hi Menuchasam, V'al Menuchasam, Yakdishu Hashemecha. Again, a connection between the mitzvah of Menucha on Shabbos and the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. We are called Mekadshei Shemecha because of our kiyum of Menucha on Shabbos. Now, obviously, Rabosai, we're not talking about Menucha the way some people on, you know, some rank and file citizens of our nation think that Menucha means sleeping for 24 hours. You know, that's, they do a bagel, if you know what I'm talking about, right? That's not what makes us Mekadshei Shemecha. But even on this higher level of Kedusha Shabbos, what is it that links up Kedusha Shabbos with Kiddush Hashem? Furthermore, what we find in the midst of Kiddush Hashem, which I thought was a little bit unusual, was the concept of kavana, of intention. Ira's, I think, out of town, right? Yeah. And that is that Rashi goes out of his way here in Parshas Emor to point out that the intention that you have at the moment of Kiddush Hashem is very critical. Now, obviously, the most profound or dramatic expression of Kiddush Hashem would be what? What would be
killing yourself.
Yeah, giving up your life. I don't know about killing yourself. That itself, Joe. No, I mean, yeah. Joe, that is an issue in halacha, whether or not. But allowing yourself, you know, mesiris nefesh, meaning giving your life up al Kiddush Hashem. And Rashi says you have to have the right intention in mind. Now, for example, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the Guv HaRayos. And they were not relying on a miracle. God did a miracle for them. But Rashi says that with regard to Kiddush Hashem, it's got to be unadulterated, pure intention for the sake of giving up your life to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. And Rashi says, HaMoser Atzmal Manas Nes, if a person thinks, oh, I'm going to rely on Hashem for a miracle, then Ein Osim Lo Nes. You know, it's not going to be a miracle. And this is not the mitzvah of Mesiris Nefesh. So Rabosei, having said this, and just if we can summarize our main points here, number one, what's the connection between the parasha of the Moadim and Shabbos? What's the connection between Shabbos and Kiddush Hashem? And why is it that with regard to Kiddush Hashem, intention plays such a major role? Those are my questions for today. And this leads us to my next question, which I think is the kishkes of today's discussion, which I hope if we get chance, depending on your time availability and how far we get, on the flip side of your page, a discussion about the mitzvah of Lechem HaPonim on the Shulchan in the Heichal, which is also part of Parashas Emor. My question for today is as follows: what is Kiddush Hashem? And we think, and what I'd like to prove mistakenly so, is that Kiddush Hashem means giving your life up and putting your life on the line. The Gemara in Brachos gives us a little bit of an insight, a window of opportunity to see through what is Kiddush Hashem. And the Gemara talks about the different Doros. There were different generations. Amalei Rav Popol Abai, this is the seventh source on your page. Maishna Rishonim, Disrachish Lu Niso, Maishna Anan, Delo Misrachish Lu Niso. Why is it, asked Rav Popol Abai, that the earlier generations were Zocha to Nes? Our generation, apparently on a lower level, we don't get miracles. There are no supernatural events. And the Gemara goes through a story about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda the Amora, the first generation Amora who represents the earlier generations, he was a person for whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about a Nes. And the case is a drought. As you know, when the Jewish people face a drought, it's a very, it's a situation that's of dire in danger and certainly anguish, and we have to go out and we have to establish a fast day. And we afflict ourselves with the Inuyim, all as a petition to God to bring about rain. Here, Baruch Hashem, in this part of the world, I don't think you have a problem with rain. Right? I think you get a little bit too much, maybe. All right. I got stuck in the rain last night, but that's okay. I didn't get stuck in the ice and the snow, so I'm very lucky. The weather's been glorious since I arrived. I bring the good weather. I didn't bring a good flooring to the base medrash in the bottom of Clanton Park. That needs to be taken under advisement. But anyway. So now Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of a drought, what kind of affliction, self-affliction, brought about the miracle of rain? Sholif chad misane. He just took off one of his shoes. Asi mitra, and the rains fell. Vanan. But we, in a later generation, come at Sarina nafshe. We really inflict pain on ourselves, and we take off both of our shoes, and we observe all the inuyim, all the categories of affliction. And we scream out to the Ribono Shel Olam, "V'lesta mishkach ban," and no one up there in the heavens is paying any attention to us. The drought continues, and then when the Gemara points out the Kamoi Havi, and please, I would underline the next two words, Kamasri Nafshayu Akedusha Sashem. Do you see those words? Mesiris Nefesh on Kedusha Sashem. Anan Lo Masrina Nafshayu Akedusha Sashem. And once again, we're tempted to translate. I don't know, I don't have an art scroll here, but I'm sure that art scroll is going to take this Gemara literally and translate as if we're giving up our lives for Kiddush Hashem, but we'll see soon that that's not really the correct translation of these words. Ki hoder av ado barava. What does it mean to be moser nafshal Kiddush Hashem? It's the case of Rav Ado Barava. And what happened in his case? And the Gemara goes on to say that he saw a non-Jewish woman. He was mistakenly under the impression that she was Jewish. And she was wearing a karbalasa. She was wearing some sort of a red garment, which was not considered appropriate for a Jewish girl to wear.
Which is this in?
This in Brachas, number 7. Okay? And Savar Debas Yisrael, and he did an act, I would call it an act of kanoz, a zealous act, called kari mine. He wanted to demonstrate that she was misbehaving, and that her dress was inappropriate for a Jewish girl. Obviously, entailing a brazen, bold act in public of humiliating this woman. And the Gemara says, Igloi Milsa the Kusis Havi, unfortunately, not for Avada's best luck. It turns out she's a non-Jewish woman. And not only was she a non-Jewish woman, she apparently had some legal clout. She sued him in a court of law. And she was awarded a penalty of 400 zuz, which is a massive amount of money. With that amount of money, we could probably...
You could buy 200 goats.
200 goats, exactly. Probably 2 years' worth of salary. Yeah, it's enough to keep the soldiers happy for a good couple of months in the Amek loan soldiers. In any event, the Gemara goes on to say that he asked her what her name was, you know, and her name was Matun. And Matun, he said, Arba Meo Zuzimila, because Matun comes from the word Masayim. And he called her Matun Matun, which is a double Masayim, which is 400. In any event, Rabosai, we're not talking about Rav Ado Barava placing his life in danger. It wasn't that he was going to get shot by a bow and arrow. It was that he didn't act without making any sort of calculations as to what this might mean to his reputation and to his legal financial stature. He did what he thought was right. That's what the Gemara says is Mesirus Nefesh. If I know that this is God's will, that's called Mesirus Nefesh. And here I want to share with you an unbelievable incident of the Ran. You know that the Ran lived over 1,000 years ago, the Drushus Ran, which you'll see number 11 on your page. And the Ran says something which I think if I would say it, they would put me into Cherem. The Ran says that Avram Avinu was never commanded to take his son Yitzhak on the Akedah. What does that mean? Says the Ran, the Pasuk says, Kach na esbincha. The word na means please. And the Ran goes on to say that technically Avram Avinu could have said, no deal, don't count me in. Because Hashem had said to him, Ki beYitzchak yikarei lechazor. He had a previous divine promise from Hashem. And there was no way, no how that God could command him, mandate him to take his son al Kedushas Hashem. But the word na means that Hashem is revealing his deep desire. Again, his with a capital H, and this is all kaviyachol. Hashem's ratzon was that Avram Avinu would step up to the plate and volunteer to bring his son on the Akedah because Avram knew that this was the will of Hashem. That's Mesirus Nefesh.
Maybe you can say the other way. Avram knew that Hashem already said, you're
going to
have the
Zera.
Somehow it's testing me,
and therefore at the end of the day Hashem will,
it's good.
Okay, that's a good kasha, but I'm just presenting to you the thesis of the Ran. Take a look at the Ran inside. We're not going to read every word, we don't have time. And the answer is that Eino Lashon Tziva, you'll see on the fourth line, El Lashon Bakosha. God revealed to Avram Avinu that it would be his will if he, Avram Avinu, would come forward and bring his son on the Akedah. Had Avram responded, I'm not interested. Lilo nasata zorakim zeh, this is my only son. Vivtachtoni bo, and you promised me, ki b'yitzchak yikar l'cha zora. How can I do this? But, afal pichein, nevertheless, legodel ahavaso es Hashem. This is the beautiful poetry of the Ran. Matzo levavo liakto kideshi yaseh chefetz Hashem yizbarach. Those are the words I want you to underline. It means that what defines Mesirus Nefesh, what is Kiddush Hashem, when I do something out of my love to Hashem, with a pure heart, for the sake of God's will and fulfilling His will, for the glory of Hashem, had Avram Avinu, says the Ran, declined the offer, had he desisted, then lo hayam asigo onish klal, he wouldn't have been punished at all, because he wasn't violating any sort of command. It was a contingency of no, please, this was Hashem's bakasha. And I want to support this with the Rambam. The Rambam, which you'll see quoted in Rav Moshe Sternbach, in number 8, in Perek Hey, Mihilchus Yisori HaTorah, which is a perek in the Rambam that's dedicated to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and the Rambam begins in the first 9 halachas of Perek Hey, Mihilchus Yisori HaTorah, by outlining the situations in which a person has to be willing to give up his life literally al Kiddush Hashem. Then he gets to what I consider, from our perspective today, the punchline in Halacha Yud. And the Rambam says, Kol ha-poresh me'avera, anyone who desists from violating an avera, he's tempted, and he doesn't fall in. Oh, asa mitzvah, or he steps up to the plate and he fulfills a mitzvah, but lo mipnei dover sheba'olam, he's not motivated by anything external, any benefits, lo mimnei pachad, v'lo yira, v'lo levakesh kovid. It's not out of fear. It's not out of a desire to be somewhat significant and get honor. And here I want you to underline the next words. Ela mipnei habore baruch hu. He's totally motivated because he wants to do what Hashem wants him to. That's Kiddush Hashem. And the Rambam illustrates this. And what is the paradigm? Kimenias Yosef Hatzadik Atzmo Meishes Rabo. The Rambam says that Yosef resisted the tremendous temptation in the case of Eishes Potiphar. Harezem Akadish Hashem, says the Rambam. That is Kiddush Hashem. Now, says Rav Sternbach, wait a minute. Who was there to see it? It wasn't in the public eye. It wasn't in the spectacle of that anyone observed it. It was in the privacy of that place. Harelana, what we see, says Rav Sternbach, from this Rambam, is Gam Yochid, an individual, no one's around, it's not public, it's not Farhesya. Kishemakayim mitzvah b'shlemus hakavona. If he fulfills a mitzvah with the perfect intention, harezem akadish es Hashem, that itself is Kiddush Hashem. David, just give me one more second to read the last line, and then the floor is yours. He says, this is the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara wants to give Yosef as the paradigm of Kiddush Hashem. Yosef Shekide Shem Shamayim. What's the next word, Rabbi Yosef? Please underline it. Seiser. The Seiser, we're not talking about Farhesya. The Gemara says, Hosifalo Os Achas Al Shmo. His name was changed to Yehosef. You'll see it in Tillim. And that's Hashem's name, because Hey always represents Hashem. And why? Because he was Makadesh Shem Shamayim. The Seiser. If you do a mitzvah, or you avoid an avera with for the right intentions, I don't care who's looking, who's not looking, you do it out of Avas Hashem, that itself is called Mesiris Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem. Whole new approach or definition of Kiddush Hashem. David.
It was according to Rashi in the parasha of Yosef. He says he saw...
Wait, the Skype is not good, David. You'll have to raise your voice.
He saw his father's image come to him, and he realized that he wouldn't be part of Klal Yisrael had he done the avera. So according to Rashi, it sounds like Rashi's chalak on this, because Rashi's saying basically he had an ulterior motive of sorts to not do the avera. It wasn't just God commanded me, I'm not doing it. It's like, I won't be the shift take off, I do this.
Right, but the question is, David, again, we have to study the Rashi carefully. What does it mean he wants to be part of the shift take off? That itself probably is because of his love for Hashem. You could see it as self, you know, self-glory, you know, I don't want to get cut out. You know, I come from Beis Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, I don't want to be excluded. Or you could say, no, that the entire process of Knesset Yisrael as an entity had to be made up of 12 Shvat. And we spoke about it once, I don't know if you remember, many moons ago, about the number 12, that there have to be 12 Shvatim, and they can't be less. If Yosef would have been cut out... I want to show you from two quotes of Rabbeinu Yonah. One is in Ksav Yad, that's quoted in a Sefer, and the other is Rabbeinu Yonah in his classical Shari Tshuva, how Rabbeinu Yonah defines the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. This is number 9, and then number 10 on your pages. There's a Sefer called Shari Ora, and he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah in a Pirush Al HaTorah, which we don't have. It's in Ksav Yad in Parshas Yisro, on the first mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's about the fifth line down. Ha'odam kishayasa mitzvah. Tzorech la'asosa b'shvil kvod shamayim shetzivo b'kach. Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to present a new definition of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem applies whenever I do a mitzvah because of kvod shamayim. I want to bring out the glory of Hashem. Again, philosophically, you could ask me, why does God need me? You know, God doesn't need the glory. But through Ozel Kim, that God makes it such that we have the opportunity of glorifying Hashem by fulfilling His will. And the embellishment here of the Shari Ora is beautiful. He says, Shamati midvarav. Shamati means I understood from his words. That lorak etzem atzivui mechayim es adam. When a person is obligated in a mitzvah, it's not just that specific mitzvah. Elagam mipnei kvodo yisparach shetzivo b'kach. The Anochi Hashem Elokecha is built into every single mitzvah. Rabosai, I would say the following. It's a radical conclusion, at least for me. I don't know if it's a chiddush for you. That every single time I do a mitzvah, I'm doing two mitzvahs. I once had a vart that if you do a Beinonim L'Chavero, you get two mitzvahs. Based on a rush at the beginning of Nedarim, you get a Beinonim L'Chavero, which is a mitzvah itself, and a Beinonim L'Mokom. But we're saying something different now. We're saying that every single mitzvah, all 613, entail another additional kiyum. And why is that? Because if I do the mitzvah with the proper intention, which means mipnei kvodo yisparach shetzivo akach, zeu kiddush shem shamayim. I add a whole new dimension, says Rabbi Yonah, and that's kiddush shem shamayim. Why? Because he's been mechabi the bore sheshomer litzivui. You know, the king has commanded me, and I uphold his tzivui. And the flip side, he says, is chil shem shamayim. If a person violates the will of God with an avera, it's chil shem shamayim. And look at the last line at the bottom of your right side. Afal pi she'ein makir b'zeshum adam. No one sees it. Afilu bein olav ein atzmo. Harizim achalos Hashem. If you look at the Shari Tshuva of Rabbi Yonah, he speaks about something called Darkei Kiddush Hashem. Darkei Kiddush Hashem means the expansion of Kiddush Hashem. Lahodia. Let me just summarize what he's about to say. I mean, every word here is poetry, but what Rabbi Yonah presents a thesis that if a person lives his life and faces every single challenge with the proper attitude to serve Hashem, that's called Darkei Kiddush Hashem. He says every way he speaks, Lahodia Bechol Mivtas Vasayim. Those who've gotten a chance in their lives to know a Gadol from close, and I imagine that, you know, we could think about someone who's on the Skype screen from Montreal. Let me make that clear, I mean, because otherwise somebody might misunderstand me. But if you get close to a Gadol, you will see in everything the man says, everything he does. I always say, and this is not my own idea, but the true measure of a gadol is that the more you get to know the person, the more you stand in awe of the person. Because you know, other people who are less gadol, you know, the more you get to know them, oh, he's nothing special. You know, I thought he was. You know, now I know him. But a real gadol is the, and it means bechol mivta, everything he says, the way he speaks, even the way he looks with his eyes. Every single hanhaga upol yadayim. Pol yadayim, I think, means symbolically every act that he implements. What is it about his nefesh? He understands, and not just intellectually, but in terms of his soul, his heart, that the nefesh of Adam, what is my essence? Who am I? Everybody asks the question, who am I? What is my essence, my soul, my personality? Utzvi edyo. Tzvi edyo means the crowning glory of his being, of his existence. Vahatova ikar vatoeles. Anything that's good, anything that's significant, anything that has a benefit or a purpose. Vayokar, and it's cherished, is what? Avodas Hashem yizbarach v'yiraso v'soraso. This is what I am. And this has to spill over and encompass my entire life and everything I do. So imagine, Rabosa, you're sitting in a shul, and two people at the table where you're davening are schmoozing, and it's very interesting. They're talking about something that piques your interest. And then you can get involved in the conversation with them. It's very tempting. If, on the other hand, you're totally focused on Avodas Hashem and Yiraso, then you're not tempted. A person, I believe that a person who fits this category described by Rabbi Yonah is a person who will not make mistakes in life. Because at every challenge he makes the calculation correctly. Somebody invites him to breakfast and he knows that, wait a minute, he might be late to a shiur. So he declines to go to the breakfast. And then you have another guy who doesn't make the right decisions. He decides to go to the breakfast. And he's got people waiting for him and he comes late to a shiur. I don't know of such a person, but if you ever meet that guy, you know that he doesn't fit the bill here described by Rabbi Yonah. He's not up to par, not even a scratch. And I want to share with you an insight of the Michtav Melio, one of the giants of the Musa movement, the previous generation, Rav Elio Desser, number 13. And he says the following. What is it about Kiddush Hashem that so many people, the masses, miss the point? Why is it? They miss the point, he says, because they are mistakenly under the impression that Kiddush Hashem is this profound, dramatic challenge of giving up my life and in front of the Goyim and this, that, and the other thing. He says, no, 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 no. That's a much higher madriga. That's not the beginning of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem begins with the brass tacks, with the base. Let's go back to first base. He says, "Kasher anu shafin l'mitzvah gedola shel Kiddush Hashem, reishis mamotzeinu tzorach lios lahagil l'gedol shel Kiddush Hashem betoch atzmeinu." What is it within my own essence, my own being, my own life that could be Kiddush Hashem? For example, he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the person who neglects to study Torah when he has the opportunity to do so, he fits this description of Udvar Hashem Baza. Baza means Lashem Bizayon. It's Mam Shechil Hashem. The Rambam goes on and on about this in Hilchas Talmud Torah. He says, Ikar Kiddush Hashem, at the end of the first paragraph, is L'sakin Chil Hashem B'toch Atzmeinu. First look inside, inwardly. He says, only after you've reached that madrega of Kiddush Hashem Shamayim B'atzmeinu, then you're ready for the challenge of Kiddush Hashem Shamayim B'rabim Al Taharasa, with the proper intention, in a pure way. And that is in front of Asar B'Yisrael. But he says, Baal HaMadrega Gvoh B'Yosu Huzeh Shemechaved Shamayim Kovet Shamayim Godol B'Einov Kol Kach, that everything he does and every action is as a result of his great awesome reverence of Kvod Shamayim. He says, why is it in the last paragraph, on Uroim B'Tochenu Shaseder Hazem Mehupach Etzlenu, with us the sequence is just upside down, inside out? Because we think, oh, we got to go out there in a public forum to be Mekadesh HaShemayim and in front of the Goyim. He says, no. Hatirutzu, and he heard it from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, and it's also in the writings of the Alter Rebbe. He says, Ki ha'odam choshev shemekadesh shemayim. He thinks that he's really motivated for Kiddush HaShemayim. But really, in truth, he has other calculations. He's really being Mekadesh Shem Atzma. He's really trying to sanctify his own name. You know, he wants to impress others, impress the goyim around him. But really, the truth is, he says, we have to start and begin with ourselves, with a strong ratzon, kavanoso lichvod atzmenu. That's not what we're looking for. We are motivated. Our kavan has to be lichvod Hashem Yisparach, because we want to fulfill His will. And perhaps if that be the case, we can see and appreciate why Rashi emphasizes the kavana element in Kiddush Hashem, the intention. Intention means that first I start with a desire to be mechaved Shem Shamayim, to be motzi kvod Shamayim. That's Kiddush Hashem. Then I'm willing and I'm ready to give up my life on Kiddush Hashem in the right way. Charney, I'm in the middle of a shiur here at Yudi Planka's house. Can I call you back later? Yeah, okay, bye-bye. Okay. Sorry about that. Regards from my wife. Yeah. And now perhaps we can swing back to our first question about the connection here in Parshas Emor between Kiddush Hashem and Shabbos, Kiddush Hashem in the Moadim. And the question is, the challenge is, how do we experience Shabbos? How do we experience the Moed? And in order to really rise to the occasion, to the challenge of Shabbos, we have to understand that fulfilling the Shabbos in its perfect form means to implement the Ramban. The Ramban in his Pirush here in Parshas Emor tells us what Shabbos has to be like. And it's great to have wonderful meals. And it's great to have Onig Shabbos. But that's not the be-all and the end-all. The Ramban here, which is number 14 on your page, speaks about Lehikavetz Bebeis Elokim, to gather together in the shul, in the synagogue, on a day of Shabbos, on a day of Moed, to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, Tefillah, Torah, Hallel on Yom Tov. All of this is the main goal of experiencing Shabbos. You know, we think of Menucha, we think of Oneg Shabbos. These all have to be placed in a broader perspective. If the framework is, I know that this is my day every week, or on a Yom Tov, whenever, to dedicate myself to Hashem. You know, during the week, I'm busy with this, I'm busy with that, I'm distracted, I'm involved in more secular, mundane activities, but now on Shabbos I can dedicate myself to Hashem. And within that framework, my delightful, delectable meals in the eating centers of our homes are part and parcel of our experience. If our Menucha Shabbos is really in a broader context of serving Hashem, of coming on this day of Hashem, which is a day of Shechina, a day which we get close to Hashem, that's true Kiddushim Shemayim. And therefore the Nusach HaTefillah, V'yanuchu vo Yisrael mekadshei Shemecha. If Klal Yisrael can experience in the ultimate Menucha Shabbos, if they can take every dimension of Shabbos and incorporate it into Kiddushim Shemayim, then we are mekadshei Shemecha. And here I want to share with you the insight of the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe says, Sheshes yomim tasem alachtecha, ubemoados ksiv asher tikro som bemoado. He says the following, Biyontiv yoreid kedusha miyuchedes bizman hazeh, val kedushas ha-shabbos tzorech likro tamid ha-shabbos meir l'chol yimei ha-maiseh, l'chein lo kosev be bemoado. The difference between Shabbos and Yontif, Moado, means a specific, well-defined period of time. Shabbos is not limited. Shabbos is not the 24 hours and change that we think it is. Shabbos encompasses the entire week. And therefore, it's not called a Moed. Moed means a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know, bookends. It's limited, it's circumscribed. No. Shabbos, Maschil Sheshes Yomim, the Kedusha Shabbos is going to overflow and impact on the entire week. That's the powerful nature of Shabbos. And therefore, the parasha of Eilu Moadei Hashem begins with Sheshes Yomim, Tasem Lachtecha. If the Jew is able to rise to the occasion and the challenge of Shabbos and experience the Shabbos as Kiddush Hashem, as all I want to do is fulfill God's will, and I want to bring out His covet, His glory, and be mekayem His tzivui. That's the only intention that I have. If that is the encompassing intention of Shabbos, then you have no question it's going to impact on the entire week to come.
I am very glad to hear, Rabbi, that when I have Menucha Shabbos, a Shabbos Shufi, I am being mekayem Shir Shemayim.
Okay, as long as you have the right intentions.
Best of intentions going to Shabbos.
On the flip side of your page, there's another part of the tefillah that I wanted to point to your attention, and that's Tikanto Shabbos, Ratzisa Karbonoseha, Tzivisa Perushem, Sidurei Nisocheha. And Levush, his name is Rav Mordechai Yaffa, he lived 5 centuries ago at the time of the Mechaber, he interprets these words. He speaks about Karbonoseha. What is it about the Karbonos of Shabbos that Hashem wants, Ratzisa Karbonoseha? He says, Afal pi, it's paradoxical. Yesh ba'krovas Karbonoseha chil Shabbos. When you bring a carbon in the Migdash on Shabbos, you violate the Shabbos, because there are so many different malachas that are involved, that are entail bringing the carbon. Afal pi chen Ratzisa b'hem. Then he gives a second shot. He says, Ratzisa Karbonoseha, Ratzalomar, Lo ratzisa shum karbon elim kein avrolav. This is also in our parsha, miyom hashmini v'hola. The animal has to be a minimum of 8 days old. Means, by definition, it passed through a Shabbos. Shabbos is connected to the karbon. And Rabosai, what we're saying here is that Shabbos and karbon are one and the same. Karbon miloshen akrova. This is my opportunity to come close to Hashem by bringing a carbon on the Mizbeach. And if it's a carbon tzibur, the entire tzibur gets close to Hashem. Karbon miloshen akrov, and that's what Shabbos is all about. We connect the Shabbos with the carbon. But what's the last part of this tefillah? Tzivisa perusheha im sidurei nisacheha. The language here is a little bit heavy. Excuse me. And he says, maybe I'll take that water. Did I bring the water? Yeah, I brought it. And he says the following. What's Tzivisa Perusheha? The word Tzivisa is a secret code word, a reference to the parasha of Shabbos. At the end of Sefer Bamidbar, it says Tzavis B'nei Yisrael, and then Sidurei Nisucheha. And this is a Pel of a Chiddush, is a reference to the Lechem HaPonim. And I have a picture for you, the Lechem HaPonim on the Shulchan here on the left of the Shulchan. It was set up six on one side, six on the other. And therefore the word Sidurei Nesachecha is translated by the Targum Onkelos as Shish Sdarim Nisachel Miloshem Koshos HaNesach. Now the Koshos HaNesach, if you take a look a little bit in the diagram, you will see that on your left side, and if you have a frontal view of it, you would be looking at six shelves, each one identical to the other, and you'll see that empty space in the middle, that's where they put the lechem. And then you'll see that there are poles going in two directions. Some go vertical and some go horizontal. And those poles were placed there in order to make sure that each lechem was secure in its place. Again, we're looking at an open view of it, but if you saw it closed, you will see how the Koshos HaNesach were able to protect each individual lechem. And the reason why I emphasize this to you is because if you take a look at Rav Shimshon Fall Hirsch, which is number 9 on your page, you will see that he understands Kedarko Bakodesh, a deeper philosophical meaning or message in the way that the Lechem HaPonim was organized, was arranged on the Shulchan. And he says the following, that the Lechem HaPonim represents material comfort for Klal Yisrael. And the fact that each lechem was identical, and in a sense he says symbolically, each lechem sort of carries the one above it. It's only separated by a limited size platform. Now he talks about the size of the platform here, if you're interested. He says, the tachtis shtucho shteid fanos skufos, and the orech hatachtis hoyeka orech shtei defanos haskufos yachad. Notice the two parts that go vertically on the ends, if you add them together, they're the same size as the flat surface that holds the lechem. And what is this all about on a symbolic level? Again, this is all Rav Shimshon Hirsch's philosophy of halacha. It's all speculative, obviously. And he says the following. He writes that this is meant to show us that in material comfort, a person should not be selfish. He should sort of carry the one around him, the one above him. He calls it mesirus. He says being willing to give of yourself for the sake of others. And he speaks about the fact that one should make sure that others have the parnasa, we have to care for the others. And in the next paragraph, he speaks about the achva, the brotherhood, and the concern. He speaks about the fact that every one of the lechamim represents a different shevet of Klal Yisrael that cares for the next one. And the semel, and the symbol of the lechem aponim, is that if we fulfill this midah, this attribute of achva, of caring, then and only then will there be harvacha b'Yisrael, will there be material comfort in Israel. So that's giving up of one's anochiyut, of one's self-centered, sort of egotistical motivation that everything has to be mine. And unfortunately, it's quite common in our life that we suffer from jealousy and selfish greed. And he says that this Lechem HaPonim is meant to undermine such midos. But then he goes on to explain what is the purpose of the Koshos HaNesach, of these different poles that were meant to sort of hold on to the lechamim, that they shouldn't be loose and they shouldn't go out. He speaks about the fact that there are two equal stacks side by side that are in pairs. And that's why the six and the six represent the division of Klal Yisrael into two equal halves. And then he goes on to say that the symbolism of the Koshos HaNesach is that there's also another midah. Every single lechem in and of itself has to be protected. And that represents the midah of justice, of tzedek, and mishpat, that every individual has his rights, and the Torah and the Halach has to guarantee those rights. The pre-tzadik of Tzadik HaKohen embellishes the idea of the Yud Beis Chalos, Kenegi the Yud Beis Shvatim. This represents not only the love of each Jew for another Jew, but also the love of Hashem for the Yud Beis Shvatim. And the Mispar, Yud Beis Chalos, and the Lechem Aponim is Kenegi the Yud Beis Shvatim. And I always like to say over from my father, Zichron Levracha, and you probably heard it from me a number of times, that the Lechem Aponim had a tremendous miracle. On a weekly basis, the Gemara in Chagiga says, Ki siduro kach siluko, that they were fresh at the beginning of the week, and they were fresh a week later, when they were taken off the Shulchan, and replaced by the new batch. And this represents, in a sense, the eternity, and the infinite message, the eternal message of Kedusha, of the sanctity of the Lechem Aponim. And in the context of Rav Hirsch, we could perhaps embellish this, the eternal message of the Achva, the love and the concern, of the love of Hashem for the Jewish people, of the integration of both Chesed and Mishpat, on the one hand, to give and to give, and not to take selfishly for oneself. And on the other hand, each one has an individual right to be protected by the law. And finally, and with this I'll conclude for today, the concept of the love of Hashem. And it's fascinating to me that the parasha of Emor ends with the story of the Mekalel, which seems to be totally out of place over here. And you'll see in number 4, Vayetze, this man came from mixed marriage, his mother was Jewish, his father was not, he was a Mitzri. And Rashi gives 3 different interpretations as to why this individual went out and cursed Hashem. And Rav Schwab, which is in number 6 in the Mayan Beis HaShoeva, asks, what is going on here? None of these interpretations seem to make much sense. And if we had time, we'd go through each one of them and all the caches that he piles up on each one. But at the end of the day, what he says is that the problem with this Ish Ben Yisrael is Ben Mitzri is that he doesn't appreciate God. He denies God's existence. He's a kofar. To him, he's not impressed by the Lechem Aponim. That's one of the interpretations that Rashi gives, that he was making fun of the Lechem Aponim. Because if you don't have the right perspective, if you don't believe in Hashem, you're not going to see the miracle in front of your eyes. You'll deny the miracle. Those who deny miracles, it's because they deny God. And therefore, in the last paragraph on the right side of your page, he says, "Ein kan gimel machlokos." There are not 3 opinions about who this individual was and what brought him, what motivated him to be Makalas Hashem. But rather, they're all 3 one and the same. If a person believes in Hashem, then he has rights. Then we respect him. Then we do chesed for him. But once a person, chas v'shalom, becomes a min, right, kishemaschil b'minus, and that's what it means. Rashi says vayetze. Rashi says yotza mi'olamo in the name of Rabbi Levi. That means he left the world of connection to Shechina. He was a min. His lo yire lo yizke liros b'nes shel lechem aponim v'yem milagleg. He was cynical about the lechem aponim. He didn't want to connect to Hashem. And that explains one of Rashi's Perushim, why Shevet Dan rejected him, even though on his mother's side he came from Shevet Dan. They could have been more nice about it, giving him a place and an achla, but they rejected him because he had overstepped all his bounds, and he was a kofar, he was a min. And therefore, at the end of the day, he went out, he was Makalas Hashem, and he was judged for skila. Rabbosai, everything that we've said, both in terms of Kiddush Hashem, in terms of Shabbos, in terms of the Makalel, in terms of the Lechem Aponim, it's all, Rabbosai, one and the same. The message is that we have to have full dedication, focus on Hashem, appreciate Hashem's love, His Ava for us, for each one of us, and of course the Shivtei Ka, and out of that sense, we move on to be Makadish Shem Shamayim, to experience the Shabbos in its fullest, and to appreciate Hashem's will and His glory, Yiratzamim, His will, that we should be able to mekayim the mitzvahs of Kiddush Hashem in everything that we do, as Rabbi Yonah says, in every aspect of our lives. Kein Yiratzon. Amen. I just want to tell everyone that it's been nice to see you, a special experience for me. I wouldn't get on the plane just for that, although maybe I would, but we came on behalf of a very exciting new project, and that is the AMEC Learning Center, the AMEC Lone Soldiers, and we're doing some great work of Chesed. Rabbi Myers is here, Shkoyach Rabbi Myers, for coming to join us for our learning. And we wish the AMEC a great deal of Hatzlacha. Anyone who wants to be part of this great mitzvah, you can get a Thornhill Adult Education Center tax deductible.
To the end of the
month. Okay, and then we move on to this. Any questions on what we said? Yeah, Dave. What do you say?
Number 12 or something? I don't recall the shear.
No, I gave a whole shear on why it has to be 12. It wasn't the Skype shear that I gave about a year ago.
Maybe I'll play that way for
some. What you could do is if you can go on to my page on YU Torah, you know, there's a way of
searching.
Your little, you know, you just so press in Shvatim and see if it shows up. Shvatim would be SHEV. Okay then.